Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It's Tuesday, May 7th, and we are here trying to help you make better financial decisions, maybe less bad ones. Maybe you don't even know the right question to ask, but you're feeling unnerved about something going on in your life, and it has to do with money. If that's the case, get in touch with us. Go to our website, jillonmoney.com. Click the Contact Us button and let us know if you'd be willing to come on the air with us. If you don't want to come on the air, that's okay. Just send us the email and we'll do an email episode. That's what we do from time to time. While you're on the website, please don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter and check out our YouTube show. It's called Jill on Money, powered by The Compound. Yes, that is where you too could become a jillionaire. We didn't make that up. Someone else made it up. Okay. Let's do some emails today. This is from David. He and his wife are 30 and 31 respectively. And oh my goodness gracious, they make a lot of money. Combined, they will be making $460,000, 30 and 31. She's a doctor. He's in tech. Okay. My gosh. Right now, we have $78,000 in a traditional 401k. $20,000 in a high yield savings account, $11,000 in a brokerage account. Wow, this cash flow is going to just rocket them. They've got $9,000 invested RSUs in a company that could go public. He says likely, I'm going to say could, in 2025. Okay. Once July rolls around, here's the plan. They're going to save $9,000 per month, $7,500 for a down payment fund, $1,500 to a brokerage account, which, by the way, the brokerage account they don't intend to touch for 40 years. There's no rush to buy a house, but we would like to do so in the next 3 to 5 years. I know my wife needs to start saving for retirement. I think based on our earnings, she would contribute to her own traditional 401k, like a solo 401k. Okay. Aside from that, they've got an 8-month-old baby. They're saving $500 into a 529. The intention is to bump that to $750 in July. Total monthly expenses come in at $10,000, rent, 2 car payments, and student loans. Aside from the fact that we don't have much saved right now, I feel like we're on a good path. Yes, absolutely. You're an amazing path. I mean, cash flow can make up for a lot of lack of savings in your 20s. So you guys, amazing. If the IPO comes in, it would solidify it. Okay, what would you change about what we're doing? What would you do? All right, let me just say, for what you're doing now, you know what I would do? We don't have money that we have allocated yet for a 401k for her, but I think that she would do the solo 401k. She may want to also, I mean, I don't know her situation. I don't know if she's like, she's a young doctor. Is she not in a practice? Is she just a solo? I want to make sure I'm giving her the right advice on the retirement plan. So just maybe follow up with us on, you know, is there an expansion of staff or anything like that that could happen for her, because we might choose a different kind of retirement account if that's the case. But yeah, I think you should be putting some money in retirement, some money in brokerage. I think it's like a little bit too much. I might split it up differently. If you have $9,000, let's say that we're really talking about, let's call it $10,000 a month, because you're already doing the 500 in the, I think you would do $1,000 in the 529. Okay. I would shift it. I don't think I would do $7,500 in a down payment. I think I would just split it. I would say whatever you're going to have, you put $1,000 a month into the 529, and whatever else is left is split between the down payment fund and the brokerage account. I think that's right. If you're not going to buy a house for 5 years, I kind of like the down payment fund would be sitting in cash, and that'd be hard for me to do. So that said, you know, you could make a few little, you know, like that's like a little bit of a tiny change, right? On the edges there. Okay. Now, If you have the IPO money, the question is, my plan has been to hold the shares for 5 years with the intention of selling at some, but you know what? Okay. Here's what I think. If the IPO happens, I would never hold on to the shares. I would sell a good chunk of it and get some money off the table. I never think that holding on, it may be the best thing in the world, but like, wouldn't you, why not sell half the shares, get the money? And if you're still, if it's still there, then yeah, okay, fine. But like, I don't think you should hold on. I think that's too risky for me. Okay. Speaking of which, Jamie writes that they've got too much of their net worth in a single stock. How do I diversify considering tax implications? We live in California, married early 50s. We're both W-2 employees with pensions, 401ks, 403bs, 457, two teenagers, small 529s, barely any cash, 50 grand. House is worth $900, mortgage $260,000 at 2.375%. The one stock represents half of their net worth. How do we sell and diversify? Okay. I've talked to financial planners that want to sell me products or just talk investments with no consideration of taxes. Also want to make sure we leave as much as possible to the kids. With pensions, 401k, Social Security, we really don't need any extra money to live on. Can you help or point me to the right type of advisor to assist? You know, one of the things that I always think, I know that there are a lot of products. There are products where people will say like, well, let's use option strategies and let's do complicated derivatives. But maybe it's really the simplest idea, which is this year and next year, we understand that your capital gains top bracket is 23.8%. I'm putting on like my Ed Slott hat. And maybe what I would do is I would say, maybe I should just bite the bullet and pay the capital gains of 23.8% plus whatever California is going to charge you and take some money off the table and then be able to take some of the money, the proceeds, put the money into the 529 accounts, let them, I know they're two teenagers, but you still, that's a great tax planning, a tax accumulation vehicle, and be done with it. So that's one idea. If you are charitably inclined, another idea would be to establish a charitable trust where you would take some of this low basis stock, contribute it into a charitable trust. You could have one, your wife can have one, and you get a really big tax benefit from doing that. And then the money goes into that trust and you can give the money out. You can donate it over time. So that's another idea. In terms of an advisor, I don't know if you're in Northern or Southern California, but I'm going to have Mark follow up with you with the name of a guy who I think is a very smart advisor. You know, it's good to just talk to somebody, okay? This is from John, who says, my wife is 30 and I am 34. We live in Ohio and we're going to be moving to a much higher cost of living state. Wah, wah. They make a combined $91,000. They rent, oh my gosh, their rent's $1,000 a month. No wonder they're able to have low rent. They've got a ton of money in retirement, $140,000, $34,000 traditional. The rest is Roth. No pensions for us. Question. Is it okay for us to press pause on retirement for a year or maybe two so that we can start saving for a down payment? Ideally, we would like to have $100,000 or more by the time we are ready to move. I mean, I wouldn't put zero in. I think I would probably, maybe you could reduce it. I wouldn't go zero. I would at least have as much to get a match. And I need to know how much we're really trying to save for house-wise, like $100,000 as a down payment. Is it really going to be enough? I mean, I think it's fine because you're young. I don't really have a problem with it. Okay, Maria is writing about her mom. Her mom's going to be 76 this year, and she lives in the state of Washington. About a year and a half ago, my father passed away suddenly, and I've been assisting mom with getting her finances in order. She has vacant land that she inherited and she would like to sell. She co-owns this with her sister-in-law, 50-50. Her sister-in-law's son, my mom's nephew, would like to purchase the land. And sister-in-law has offered to pay mom $150,000 for the property. They estimate they could sell the land for $300,000. My mom and I feel like this is a fair price. I think the cost basis for the land would be about $67,400. which would mean a capital gain of $82,000. Ah, I'm concerned how this will affect her tax bracket and Medicare premiums. In 2023, she sold another property that she co-owned with her sister-in-law, and that was a big tax bill. I'm concerned it bumped her to the next bracket for Irma, which will in turn reduce her Social Security benefits. Her sister-in-law mentioned we might want to consider doing an installment sale and spread the sale out over a few years. I think it sounds like a good idea, but not sure how this works or where to start. Okay, what I would do is I would talk to an attorney. That's what I would do, because I don't think you need, I mean, you certainly could get a fee-based fiduciary for your mom. That's a great thing to do. You can go to the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, or NAPFA, NAPFA.org. But I think you would go to a real estate attorney to help you determine the best structure for making sure that the money comes in. I also just want to be clear that I know that the paying extra for your Medicare or for her Medicare drives people completely nutty. On the other hand, it would be for a year or two. And it's not a, you know, she's going to have a lot of money, right? And if she's, you know, going to pay, I don't know, five grand for a year, she still has all that proceeds from the sale. So it's not terrible, but yes, I would explore this structure with a real estate attorney. Okay. This question is from Donald, who's looking to set up his kids for the future without them even knowing. He is planning to open a Roth IRA for a 5 and a 6-year-old kid, two kids. His father owns a business, and he said, well, this is a great idea because I'll put them on the payroll and there will be earned income. Many simple things they could do there to earn some type of income. I'm imagining how awesome it would be to start this while they are so young. Is this the best route? Am I crazy? And I'd love to know what you think. First of all, you cannot put a 5 or a 6-year-old on a payroll. They're not going to do anything. I think that's not okay. Okay. So here's the thing. No, don't do that. But what about, can't you just put a bunch of money into 529 accounts? And if you get up to $35,000, that's the beginning of their Roth IRA. Or just open a brokerage account. Okay, side note. At what interest rate would you consider putting extra money towards a mortgage? Asking for Mr. and Mrs. Anonymous, of course. Extra money towards a mortgage. It depends on how much cash flow you have and how much cash you have. So I would only put extra money in probably if you have over a 5% mortgage, but only if you already have liquidity. If you don't have liquidity, then don't do anything. Okay. And last question from Jennifer, who says, I've seen your segments on CBS many times, and I've often wished I could talk to you about my financial situation, but I'm a small fish in your big pond, and I don't think it would be possible. What do you mean? We're doing this. We're doing it right now. To make a long story short, Jennifer writes, I've been going through the quadro part of my divorce for many years. Quadro means, gang, it's a qualified domestic relations order. It is what happens in a divorce to get a retirement assets moved from one spouse to the soon-to-be ex-spouse without any tax event. But when you get that quadro, you know, it hasn't been taxed yet. So whenever you take it out, okay, you get taxed on it. Okay. The more I try to educate myself, the more I get confused. And now this says, today I received a letter saying that I'm entitled to a small payout, but will lose 20% of taxes unless rolled into an IRA. I need the money. My rent just went up by $500 a month. My daughter needs help, and this money is a blessing I was not expecting, but I hate to lose so much of it. Is there anything I can do? Well, if you want the money, you got to pay tax on it. That's the deal. The most important thing, Jennifer, is I don't know how old you are, but if you are under the age of 59 and a half, there could be a tax consequence that is not just you pay the tax, you pay the 20%. You could actually be subject to a penalty. So that's number one. Number two, if you need the money and there's some sort of hardship, you may be able to escape that 10% penalty. But if you actually just want to pay the tax and move on, that's fine. But we really want to know a little bit more about your situation, if there's other money, what's going on with your daughter. So if you just have to pay tax on it, it's fine. If we can avoid a penalty because there is some sort of hardship that's going on, even better. Okay. That's it. That is the program. And we are so, so happy that you join us every single day. If you have a question, just go to JillOnMoney.com, click the contact us button, and let us know if you would be willing to come on the air. Don't forget that we have all sorts of content that lives on the site. Check it out. We've got a free weekly newsletter. We've got a subscription service called Jill on Money Live. For just $35, you will have access to quarterly live webinars. You get to watch the old live webinars, and there's a bunch of bonus video content, all for $35 for a year. Great deal, right? You can subscribe to this program on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Please leave us a rating and review wherever you listen. And of course, lift someone up. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
Do you ever see a new face or name on your news feeds and say, who the heck is that?
Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't. The New Yorker says we spelunk deep into the demimonde with convivial delight. That's a direct quote.
Mostly, we're going to explain to you Irish star Barry Keoghan's sudden rise to fame and relationship with a not-so-under-the-radar pop princess named Sabrina.
The fake wedding Real Housewives star Cynthia Bailey had to promote a limo rental company.
And why all the Gen Zers you know are talking about a guy named Benson Boone.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest celebrity stories of the moment. And if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we answer the most burning celebrity queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you've ever been in the market for a new home, you know home shopping can be a lot. There's so much you don't know and so much you need to know. What are the neighborhoods like? What are the schools like? Who is the agent who knows the listing or neighborhood best? And why can't all this information just be in one place? Well, now it is on Homes.com. They've got everything you need to know about the listing itself, but even better, they've got comprehensive neighborhood guides and detailed reports about local schools. And their agent directory helps you see the agent's current listings and sales history. Homes.com collaboration tools make it easier than ever to share all this information with your family. It's a whole cul-de-sac of home shopping information, all at your fingertips. Homes.com. We've done your homework.